Hi, I'm Marion McPartlin. My guest today on Piano Jazz is Kurt Elling. He's a singer with an extraordinary gift for poetry and a superb sense of swing. His voice is a finely honed instrument, leading him to inventive and even daring vocalese, which complement his unique arrangements. You do some wonderful things, Kurt.
We try to have fun.
Well, it really sounds like it. And you're from my favorite town of Chicago.
That's right.
Well, were you born and bred there, so to speak?
I certainly was. I was born there and have been raised there and have been living there since I got out of college in 89. I've been back down the south side of Chicago.
Whereabouts?
In Hyde Park.
Oh, some relatives of ours used to live there. I used to go out there all the time, and there was a club there. Oh, maybe you wouldn't remember. I think maybe you're too young, called the Beehive.
Sure, the Beehive. I never got to see it, but I know the corner it was on.
Oh, man. I used to go and hear Max Roach there. Oh, well, I don't want to get into my...
And the Sutherland, too, is right around the corner.
The Sutherland,
sure.
Yeah, and where Ahmed Jamal made his famous... Oh, the Pershing Lounge.
Yeah, the Pershing. We just did a gig opposite Ahmed the other night at Orchestra Hall in Chicago. It's beautiful. He sounds great.
I know, doesn't he?
Unbelievable.
He's
he just
amazing.
Goes and goes.
Yeah, God. I've known him so long. He used to be at the London House. Like, you don't remember that one, I'm sure, but he was like a kid. Amazing.
We all were once.
Well, you still are.
I hope so.
Well, let's do a tune. I would just love to hear something, especially since you brought this fine bass player with you, Rob Amster. Be nice if we could all meld together.
Let's play a little. Let's do some Close Your Eyes.
Okay.
Rest your head on my shoulder and sleep. Close your eyes, and I will close mine. Close your eyes. Let's pretend that we're both counting sheep. Close your eyes. This is divine music. Play something dreamy for dancing while we're here. Romance and it's love's holiday. Love will be our guide. Close your eyes. When you open them, dear, I'll be near by your side. So won't you close your eyes?
When did you get started thinking about singing? I mean, were you a little kid? Or?
Yeah, I never thought about being a professional musician. My father is a church musician. And so I was...
You mean he's an organist?
Yeah, Kapellmeister, led the choir and things like this.
Wow.
And so I was given a knowledge of music, and I was given experience of the joy of singing for years and years.
Did you sing in church?
Yeah, sang in church all the time. And I was always in choirs. So I had a very long experience growing up of the joy of music for its own sake and didn't really... think about becoming a professional musician until I was already in love with jazz, had already sat in a bunch of places, and had met a bunch of jazz musicians. And it wasn't really until I met the musicians that I said, wow, I want to hang out with these people. I want to be a part of this scene. I want to, you know, have this experience.
How old were you then?
I was in graduate school by then, so I must have been 20, 22
wow.
maybe, something like this.
Well, didn't you go to divinity school or something?
I did. I went to the University of Chicago, and I was reading the philosophy of religion. I thought I was going to write big, thick, important tomes that nobody would read.
Well, you didn't think you were going to be a priest or something, did
No,
you?
No, I didn't really have that in mind. But I was sitting in clubs so much and had so much joy with that and was having such a connection with the people and with the cats on the scene, that I sort of feel like, you know, Saturday night won out over Sunday morning, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You can't really hang until 3 in the morning, night after night, and then expect to do very well at the University of Chicago.
I would say not. So that's really, you kind of slid into it in a natural kind of a way, it seems like.
Sort of a reverse Chinese water torture, yeah.
But it's interesting that you sang in the choir, because I guess that's what gave you this kind of I mean, you seem to have a very strong voice. I couldn't imagine you ever not having that wonderful full sound. Don't you think you probably built that up when
you
were
a kid? It developed over time, for sure. I mean, the ability to hold a lot of long notes.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Do runs of music. I mean, you know, when Bach asks you to do, you know, something that's a 12 measure run of all 16th notes or something, you have to learn how to play that. And it's a similar thing when you want to play 32nd notes in jazz and the tempo is going by. It's just that you're inventing what the run is going to be now.
So Bach was a great help.
Bach was a great help. Counterpoint. And all music is a good help when you're that young.
And everything is sort of, you're taking it all in.
Mm-hmm.
Influences all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
yeah.
But who, in the way of musicians or singers or whoever, who did you listen to then in those days?
Well, when I started to listen to jazz, you know, actively, the first people who I started to hear, I started to check out Tony Bennett.
Yeah.
But very soon after that, I was listening to Frank and Ella Fitzgerald, and then somebody turned me on to Mark Murphy, and then I really figured out that there was something about this jazz music that I had to be a part of.
And a part of it you are. And how about we do another tune?
Yeah, let's do something.
All right.
Let's do a standard.
That's fine with
me.
Like
a real, like, love standard.
There's a lot of those. You pick one.
How about Embraceable You?
Always great to do.
Embrace me, my sweet embraceable you. Embrace me, you irreplaceable you. Just a look at you my heart grew tipsy in me.
You know, I was wondering, how did your family get into listening to you sing? Did they like your singing, or were they?
Well, they always liked my singing, but they didn't necessarily cotton to my singing jazz in jazz clubs right away. In fact, I think they were pretty worried about me for a while, because their impression, you know, they're from the country a little bit, out in Geneseo, Illinois, and farm country, that sort of thing. So their impression of a jazz club was automatically, you know, call girls and stiff drinks and heroin and all kinds of tragic ideas about things. But one night I took them to a club in Chicago called Alexander's Steakhouse.
Yeah.
And it was Eddie Johnson on tenor and Paul Serrano on trumpet and John Young on piano and
great
Eddie
group.
DeHaas and George Hughes, all these great, great players of their generation. And all the people in the crowd were also of their generation. So when I brought them in, and everybody said, "Oh, Kurt's here, oh, get him up and sing." And, you know, everybody made my folks feel so welcome. And as soon as they realized that all the people I was hanging out with could have been in choir practice with them one night or another, then their heads got turned around. And, I mean, they've always been very supportive, but that made them able to be comfortable as well.
It's funny, they should know how straight most musicians seem to be these days.
That's right, all eating granola and going for a run in the morning. And
yeah, I think it's amazing, because my parents were the same way. My father even offered me money if I wouldn't go.
Hmm.
You know, I was offered a job with a four-piano act playing in vaudeville. And, of course, they were shocked. But I went, and I'm really glad I did, because else I wouldn't be sitting here talking to you.
That's right.
Oh, which is such a ball. Now, you know, you're known for doing all kinds of off-the-cuff poetry and different things. What have you got up your sleeve that we could do, kind of a like a freestyle?
Yeah, let's do some free stuff. I brought some Ornette Coleman poems.
Oh, my goodness.
So I
dangerous
figured,
stuff.
I figured I would just read some things, and then you could just respond just spontaneously to it.
Okay.
Zigzag. When one can't find the straight line, they must zigzag. Unless there is a circle.
That's something I never did before. Gee whiz. It's interesting to play off that.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And you did great, too.
Did
that was
I?
Cool.
Do I
yeah.
get an, do I get an A?
Gold star.
Oh, good. Well, you think Ornette would like that? Boy, I just want to hear you sing more. I'm just having such a good time. And we've got such a good bass player. What else have you got off your mini Blue Note records? Boy, you've got what, 5, 6 albums?
We have five, I guess. Yeah.
And Grammy nominations
for every one of them. And the most recent, Flirting with Twilight, we were nominated. I was nominated for the jazz vocal performance, and Lawrence Hobgood, my collaborator and the arranger for the record, we were nominated together for the arrangements for this record. So
boy, he is some piano player.
He's tremendous. There's no way that I could have had the sustenance and the musical, you know, breadth and depth that are on the records without him. He's really been a huge stalwart right arm.
How great for you to have somebody like that.
Yeah.
No wonder you do such terrific things together. Boy, every one of them has so many gems, all those things, like Nature Boy, who would have thought of that one? You know, beautiful tunes. What are we going to do now? What do you think would be a good one?
Let's do You Don't Know What Love Is.
Oh.
Until You've Learned.
Oh, yes. Yes, indeed. Okay.
One, two, chugga, chugga. You don't know what love is until you learn the meaning of the blues. Until you've loved a love you've had to lose. You don't know. Hurt until you've kissed and had to pay the cost.
To hear the full Piano Jazz broadcast, tune in next week to your NPR station. Log on to pianojazz.npr.org to find a station in your area. Piano Jazz is a production of South Carolina ETV and Radio. Support for Piano Jazz comes from the Friends of Piano Jazz at NPR.